Hi, it's Chris Watkin. Today I'm joined by Sylvia El Darwi, who is a Dubai estate agency guru and podcaster. She's an ex-estate agent from London, and she moved over there about, how long
Six
ago was
years
it?
ago?
6 years ago,
Yeah.
Wow. So you're back in the UK for Christmas.
Yes.
And
I couldn't wait to get on the Watkin sofa.
Bless you. I want to talk to you about the differences between UK and Dubai estate agency.
Yeah.
Talk to me.
There's a lot of differences that I was not expecting. I thought that there's a lot of Brits over in Dubai.
Yeah.
In estate agency. So I was expecting it to just be the same, but in the sun. I just started getting depressed in London.
Okay, because you were a lettings director for Lauriston's.
Lauriston's, yeah.
Is that before they got bought out by LSL?
No, that was after LSL. And
you used to be Northfields, didn't you?
And then I used to be Northfields, that's right, with Richard, good old Richard. I was there for 10 years, actually. To me, it was a case of, where can I go from here? I've reached the top of my game. The next step is own my own agency or go somewhere else. So I became lettings director in 2007.
How old were you then?
And I was, let me do them backwards, man. 28.
It's not bad.
And I think I was the youngest female director in agency at the time. And that was the good old days. We used to win lots of Sunday Times, Daily Mail awards. And yeah, so I was quite used to stepping up on stage and collecting our awards. We won awards for social media at the time, best marketing, agency of the year. So yeah, I've got...
But you fancied a change.
But I fancied a change. I was just... I think I started suffering from... What's that thing? Disorder, weather disorder, when it's dark.
Sad, I think it is. Seasonal
That's
affective
it,
disorder.
Seasonal affective disorder. So I was every November and December and January, February, I'd be miserable.
But it's quite brave to move out to a different country.
Yeah, I'd been a couple of times. I've got family out there, so I'd go quite often for holidays, for the Grand Prix, for weddings. And each time I'd go, I'd always say, I can see myself living here.
Yeah, but we all love going on holiday to Italy, but we don't move there, do
yes.
we? But you said, let's go for it. So let's get back to the original question. What are the big differences?
Okay, so the big difference is the first of all, the way they're remunerated. So in Dubai, they don't get paid basic salaries. They just get paid commission only. So it's kind of similar to the self-employed model that's emerging here. As a result, there's so many behaviors that follow through this, self-employed.
Okay. Good or bad behaviors?
A lot of bad, but some very good.
Let's do the good ones first.
Okay, so the good behaviors are, I would have to say, if we're going to compare apples to apples, the top agents in Dubai would run circles around the top agents in the UK.
Okay.
And I think UK is kind of where agents will learn their craft and then they'll go to Dubai and really refine it, really nail it down. So let me give you some examples. I think in Dubai, they're very much, UK loves a good brand. So I find that UK agencies are all about the agency brand and, to the detriment or to the negligence of personal brands. So that's something that I really see happening, emerging in Dubai, is that kind of personal brand in real estate agencies.
Are they attached to like a brokerage model, like,
yes.
like a Keller Williams or a Remax or something like that?
We have Keller Williams, Remax and eXp Realty in Dubai. So we have that model where it's you have to pay a desk fee and you get higher commissions and so on. But the typical brokerage in Dubai will just, no salary, just 50% commission, 50 to 60% commission.
And not... And names that we wouldn't recognise in the UK.
Names that you wouldn't recognise. There's a couple.
That's the top. So the top agents would run ring around by the top agents in the UK. But you could almost say that there's not many top agents in the UK, and that's not being detrimental. What about the bulk, though? The core average estate agents.
Okay, so they are. There's a lot of them. There's a really low barrier to entry.
So there is in the UK,
and I think it's harder to be a real estate agent in the UK than it is there. There, it's very easy. You just have to kind of have the desire to become a real estate agent, get someone to hire you, which in, at the moment, every real estate company is on a constant hiring spree in Dubai.
Okay, but you could say the same about the UK, that as long as you've got a little bit of grey matter between your eyes, you'll be a decent agent.
Not really. The decision, you know, the decision making process in the UK is different because you have to commit to paying this person a basic salary. And I'm going to have to justify to the managing director why I've hired this person.
There goes.
Where you don't have a basic salary, it's kind of like, hey, it's open for all, you know, you're half decent, come on in.
Are there any qualifications or regulations to be a
You do have to, you do have to sit an exam. It is quite simple, not much studying required.
It's kind of like a back, filling in the back of a cereal packet, please let Johnny be an estate agent. Is it that bad?
Something like that,
but it's more than the UK.
Actually, I mean, the hardest part about it is sometimes the question will trip you up because it's translated from Arabic and the English translation is not great. So the question is more likely to trip you up than the actual theory behind it. And what we have in Dubai as well is a lot of international agents whose English isn't their first language. So they have now started doing the translating the exam into Russian because there's a lot of Russian agents, Indian, Pakistan and European. So it's relatively simple to pass.
And is it just in UK, there's just seller's agents? Are there buyer's agents in Dubai?
So we don't have that principle of I work for the buyer or I only work for the seller, but each agent will kind of define where they end up.
So there are buyers and sellers. I'm assuming you can't work for both.
You can. So it happens, you work for both. Ideally, you want to work for both.
I was about to say, there's a conflict of interest there, isn't there?
Right. So here's the issue. We've got, and I do see it in the US where they've kind of got it nailed. You've got your buyer's agent, you've got your seller's agent. In Dubai, you've got two camps. Rather than buyer's agent and seller's agent, you've got the off-plan agent, which is, under development. And you've got the secondary market, which is ready listings. So you have to decide whether you're going to be, rather than decide if you're going to be a buyer's agent or a seller's agent, the decision is, am I going to do off plan? Am I going to do ready sales?
Or like the UK, new homes versus...
Yeah, new homes, that's it. I forgot the word for it.
No, you're right.
So that is the kind of decision that needs to be made. And
why?
Because... If you're going to do second, they know that if I'm going to do secondary, it's a lot of cold calling, it's a lot of relationship building, it's a lot of, you know, sourcing listings and there's a lot of competition.
Okay.
But off plan, there's an abundance of new homes in Dubai.
Okay. And is it sole agency or multi-agency?
Multi-agency most of the time. The developers will list with every single real estate company. So they have grand launches every couple of weeks. And then all the agents across Dubai will turn up, you know, sometimes with their checks ready to pay a deposit for, and new homes properties are selling out within hours. So it's very, very competitive in both secondary and off plan. But off plan, of course, you don't need to have a car. You don't even need to really look the part because most of the work is going to be done by phone or electronically. You very rarely get to actually meet your clients. But the secondary market is where you get to, you know, you've got listings, you've got...
A bit more traditional estate.
Yeah.
Are they still multi or sole agency?
They push for sole agency, but there is a limit, okay, up to three agents per listing.
And what's the sort of fees that are involved with selling these houses?
So and now here's where it differs as well. The buyer pays in the UAE, not the seller. They are pushing, sellers should be paying 2%, but when everyone is now saying, I'll do it for 0%, sellers have got quite used to not having to pay. So the buyers pay 2% commission, and that's just the way it's always been. If you're a good agent, you can get 2% from the seller and 2% from the buyer. But typically you're getting 2%.
So really it doesn't really matter whether you're a buyer's agent or seller's agent. It's the buyer that pays the fee.
The buyer pays the fee. However, with off plan and the new homes, It's the developer that pays the fee. And sometimes they pay up to 6-7%. So that's why a lot of people are kind of leaning towards going into off plan. It's a lot more fruitful.
But... Okay, so what's the biggest challenge? The biggest challenge in the UK at the moment is getting decent listings and then selling them. What's the issue in Dubai?
As you can imagine, the complete opposite, getting buyers, qualified buyers. So at the moment, there's a lot of, you know, if you, you open up any social media app, there's an advert for a lead generation company. You know, we'll send you, they're doing their social media campaigns, they're doing whatever targeted campaigns to get international buyers. So
the that's where agents are having to focus their attention, is being a lead magnet, using their personal branding to get buyers in, correct, for them to buy the things.
Yeah, so for off plan, the companies are spending hundreds of thousands per month, dirhams, so divided by five, let's just say up to £100,000 a month on lead generation, and that could cover 100 leads.
And would you say most international buyers buy brand new or secondhand?
They buy off plan.
Well, if you're going to move up, you probably going to buy a secondhand one.
Well, they there's a lot of flipping that goes on before it's actually completed. So that's one method of doing it. But then you've got the handover. They typically move into becoming landlords and just have a portfolio of property.
If it's a very cutthroat thing, I'm assuming that some agents in Dubai might be a bit more cutthroat and cut corners when it comes to their way they work.
Yeah. So one thing that doesn't happen a lot is because in some cases they are only going to get the buyer's commission, there's a reluctance to work with other agents. So split commission, or what they call it on selling sunset, they call it double ending it, where you get seller's commission and buyer's commission. There's a, you know, you have to call probably 20 agents before you find one that's ready to split their commission with you, or split the buyer's commission with you. Typically, they prefer to just wait and find their own 100% lead, basically.
Okay. And that's detrimental to the market? Do that hold thing back?
It does, because they're not, you know, buyers are not being shown all the available options because it doesn't suit the pocket of the agent.
Final question. What's the one thing that Dubai agents could learn from British agents? And the other question is, what could British agents learn best from Dubai agents?
Fantastic question. So one thing that British agents can learn from Dubai agents is the mode of communication. This is something that I had to kind of come to terms with as soon as I moved over to Dubai. And it's a very small thing, but it's actually the main way to communicate in Dubai is via WhatsApp. Now, here, I came from the UK, and WhatsApp is kind of my personal space. You know, if you're going to communicate business with me, do it by email. So when I got there and everything was done on WhatsApp, I was like, no, send it to me by email. I had to get into the swing of it, and eventually I've started doing everything on WhatsApp. And I think it's when I'm now dealing with agents in the UK for my properties here, I don't even check my emails as often as I used to before. So I think I'd love for UK agents to start asking, how do you prefer to be communicated with? Because some people actually prefer, just call me.
I'm with you.
Some people might want a WhatsApp.
And then what could the Dubai agents learn from British agents?
There's one thing that I've noticed amongst Dubai agents is because it is quite cutthroat, there is a lot of secrecy and mistrust and not really working with each other. Or, you know, once you've got a client, you hold on to them with all your might. There's no, you know, there's no sharing of knowledge or information. So nobody ends up learning from each other. And back to the remuneration, because of how agents are paid, in most cases, actually, you're better off being an agent than ever being a manager. So as a result, there's a real shortage of quality sales managers. And this is who you learn from. You know, we had our time in agency. We learned from our colleagues. We learned from our managers, area managers. But there's no hierarchy there. It's kind of agency owner, agents. And actually, it's not even a hierarchy. They see each other as partners. So, you know, we're splitting a commission. You're giving me a visa. You're giving me support. you know, the administrative support, and I'm bringing the money, I'm paying the bills. So it's very much a partnership rather than an employee-employer relationship.
Sylvia, thank you for your time today.
You're welcome.